Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn over there with me to the book of Matthew for just a moment. Matthew chapter number 8. And I really kind of struggled a little bit. I don't know how the message is going to go exactly, but I do know that my heart is full, and I want to share some things this morning that I trust will be a blessing, be a help somebody to see that they don't need to wait until the storm is blowing to get ready for the storm. The Bible said in verse 23 of chapter number 8 of the book of Matthew, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. How many is glad you're following him this morning? And the Bible said, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but it seems like a pretty harsh, a pretty desperate situation when you talk about the ship being covered with the waves. And the Bible said Jesus, his disciples came to him in verse 25 and awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Well, tonight we'll be going back to the thought of Lord, teach us to pray. But when these people were talking to the Lord here, it didn't take them all day to let the Lord know what they needed, what they desired, amen, when they called on the Lord. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And you know, I just want to say this for God's people today. I'll read this last verse. We're not home yet, but I'm glad on the other side there's a great calm. The Bible said round about the throne was like a sea of glass. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's a peace like a river, amen, waiting for the children of God. The Bible said, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I want to bring a thought this morning, and I'm not really going to stay with the text. I've read a text about a storm and about a man that's in control of the storm, about some disciples that made it through the storm. But I want to just think about the storm this morning. Maybe that's what we would title the message, and because I'm going to come at it from several different directions this morning. And someone said years ago that we're either in a storm or we're coming out of a storm or we're headed into a storm. And there is a gospel being preached today that's contrary to the Bible, that if you love God, that you won't have any storms. And I was thinking as the choir was singing about my dear brother in Jamestown, Tennessee, and how that my Lord has got him in the palm of his hand. And that he's going through a great storm this morning. But thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. Pray with me, and we'll get right into the message. Father, thank you today for the privilege now that we have to stand here once again with an open Bible, an open heart, and open our mouths and proclaim, Lord, that you've put in our heart. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless the words this morning, the word of God, Lord, it find a lodging place. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here. Many of our families are traveling this week. I pray, God, you'll watch over them, bring them back to us safely. Pray especially, Lord, for Brother Bob and Sister Louise as they head out this week to Ohio. God, how I pray you just keep your hand on them. Bless them. They've been such a blessing to us, to our church. Lord, I'm just grateful today for your blessings. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to stand in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to talk about the storm today a little bit, and this is, I guess, boiling up in my heart because of what I've seen in the news in recent days. And I hope that I can tie it all in the way kind of God's doing it in my heart. It's kind of going in circles. It's like a storm in my heart. to be honest with you. But I want to think about some things as I saw the news building up and building up, and then we got to see some of the devastation by way of television. It looks like that a lot of it probably is being shown by drones or perhaps helicopters flying over the area. But down in Florida in the Panhandle, they were hit with a very, very tough storm, a hurricane. It started out as a Category 1, and they brought it up to 2, then up to 3, and up to 4. And it was within just a few miles an hour of being a Category 5 hurricane. And it was just a horrendous storm. And I got to see some of the pictures there. I want to say this. One of the reasons I guess this storm more than others has grabbed my attention is I have a granddaughter that went with a friend and his family down there to the Panhandle last week. And one of the reasons I think maybe that we're guilty of not paying attention is because if it doesn't affect us personally, help me this morning, amen, we kind of just let it go. You understand what I mean? But I got on the phone with Aubrey, my granddaughter, and I said, honey, where are you? She said, we're in Jacksonville, Papa. She said, we're going to head up through Georgia, up the coast on the other side. And I said, well, that's good. I'm glad you all are out of there because it's coming. In other words, they heeded the warning. And they told them that it was coming, and they got out. And as a matter of fact, I heard one of the politicians say that it seemed like the tourists were paying more attention than the people that lived in Florida. Many times they were getting out. And I just want to say this, and I'm going to come down to this in the end of the message, but just let me say this morning as we begin. There's a storm coming in this world, the likes of which this world has never seen before. And it's in my heart this morning. I'm not a meteorologist. I'm a preacher. I can't tell you what a hurricane's going to do, but I can tell you from this Bible in the book of the Revelation that this world is facing a storm. And I can tell you how to get ready. You know, I'm just going to just try to mind God this morning, but one of the things that they said was evacuate. I'm glad, thank God, Brother Rose, when that storm hits the shore in the tribulation, the church will be evacuated. We're going to be out of here, amen. And one of the things that concerns me is that none of my loved ones and none of my friends, nobody sitting on the pew at Bible Way Baptist Church would be left. But everybody would evacuate. Everybody would just go. When Jesus says, come up hither, you'd be ready and go with us to the city of God. Now, I know this morning, let me just say this, that right now I didn't understand this. I think last night I found this out. The death toll had been kind of low. Just started out with one or two, and I think it was up in the teens. But let me tell you something right now. I'm not a real smart man. But what I'm looking at is just heaps upon heaps. I know this. If there was somebody in those places, it's not likely that they made it. And I know that now they're saying that 1,500 are unaccounted for. Now listen this morning. I'm trying to tie all this together. We don't know what the death toll is going to be. But I would just about guarantee you, that there was somebody that lost their life in that storm that was ready to meet Jesus. The storm came and the storm went and they got to go home and be with the Lord because they were ready, not just for the storm that's physical, but they were ready spiritually for any storm that they would face in this life. In other words, if I go to the doctor tomorrow and they tell me I got 6 months to live, yes, I'll be facing a storm. But I can tell you that in my spirit and in my soul, I'm prepared for that storm because on the other side of that storm, the disciples, they got in a boat with Jesus and they made it to the other side. They made it to the other side. And everybody that's been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will make it through the storm to the other side
where he is. Amen. And what a blessing that is. I thought about this. Just as sure as there was someone in that storm that was ready to meet the Lord, you would have to wonder. According to the Bible, narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Few are on the narrow way. Many are on the broad way. You would have to wonder if there's not many, beloved, listen, that we're not prepared to meet God. And that we're not prepared to lose their life and go out of this world and left this world unprepared to meet the Lord. What would cause somebody to be unprepared? There's a couple of things that I pinned down that I want to share with you. Number one, they failed to recognize the severity of the storm. They failed to recognize the severity of the storm. I believe one of the reasons that men and women, boys and girls are unconcerned about eternity, they don't recognize the severity of the storm that's coming upon this world. Amen. And beloved, listen, I know that there were people that said they were going to just board up and they were going to stay. There's all kinds of things, beloved, that happened. In Acts chapter number 27, the man of God told them not to sail, that it was the voyage was going to be with much hurt and much damage to the lading of the ship. But listen, they listened to the captain of the ship more than the man of God. And they set sail, and they did not recognize the severity of the storm. I believe that's one of the reasons that people did not get out, is they didn't recognize the severity of the storm. The second thing, they fail to realize and recognize the suddenness of the storm. They think, well, you know, they were on the news, day after day. Need to evacuate. You need to get out. You need to get out. And then there came a day when that message changed. It's too late to get out. You're going to have to hunker down. You're going to have to do the best you can. There'll be no rescue. There'll be no electricity. And you're just going to have to do the best you can. It's too late to get out. Let me just say this to you this morning. Say it emphatically. Say it scripturally. Beloved, listen. When Jesus comes, you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've turned a deaf ear to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he comes, it'll be too late to get out. I believe, beloved, listen, that God is wanting us to understand the severity of the storm, but then also the suddenness of the storm. Look at 1 Thessalonians just a minute in chapter number 5. The Bible said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I'm telling you, beloved, the storm, it came suddenly. Amen. There were people, beloved, listen, that did not escape because they didn't recognize the severity of the storm. That storm in the Sea of Galilee, the Bible said in one of the texts, it came down. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I know this firsthand experience. We were on a little boat when I visited Israel. They call it the Jesus boat. And honestly, it happened to us while we were out there. A storm came down, and it came down suddenly. And beloved, listen, I'm able to swim, but I was concerned because I could see the fear. I could see the fright. And beloved, there were people that, as those waves crashed up over the side, we were getting wet. And there were people very concerned that little boat would hold together or that little motor would get us to the other side. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, the storm is coming, and it's coming severely, and it's coming suddenly upon this earth that we live in. Beloved, listen, they failed to recognize the severity. They failed to recognize the suddenness. And then they failed to recognize the Savior in the storm. Beloved, listen, the disciples were smart enough to go get the one that could do something about the storm. They were smart enough to go get Jesus. Amen. And one text that said he was asleep on a pillow. And beloved, listen, I'm telling you, listen to me tonight. The only way you'll ever be delivered from this storm that's coming in this world is to know the Savior and recognize the Savior. You see, when we fail to recognize the Savior, you know, I believe, listen, that God, I said a while ago, we don't know how many knew the Lord and how many didn't. God knows exactly how many knew him because they went home. He knows the number of the hairs in our head this morning. When we combed our hair and one fell out, he changed the number. You say, preacher, he's not that meticulous. I dare say, listen, you need to believe the word of God. Yes, he is. Amen. He knows our thoughts, the Bible said. He knows us intimately this morning. I want to give you some reasons I believe that people fail to recognize the Savior. First of all, they make their decisions based on the temporal rather than the eternal. You remember the rich young ruler in the Bible. You remember, beloved, listen, that Jesus came to him and he said, all these commandments have I kept from my youth up. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, go sell all you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And the word of God said, listen to me carefully, the word of God said that he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Now you can say whatever you want to, but I'll guarantee you that a lot of people think they're going to ride out the storm is, of course, they're more concerned with the stuff than they are with their soul, and they're more concerned with the stuff than they are with their Savior. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, if we don't recognize the Savior, then we base our decisions on the temporal rather than the eternal. The Bible said, what doth it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I believe, beloved, this morning, God is saying to us, we need to base our decisions on the eternal, not on the temporal. The second thing I thought about in the decision process here, there are people that their decisions are birthed out of pride rather than out of humility. In other words, they stick their chest out and say, I can handle this storm. I'm telling you, beloved, you listen to me and you hear me well. I'm going to read some verses in a little while out of the book of Revelation. There's a storm coming that men can't handle. There's a storm coming that kings can't handle. There's a storm coming that presidents can't handle. There's a storm coming that FEMA can't handle. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a storm coming on this world, and God wants us to be ready. I was thinking about an interview. Think about this for just a moment. I'm not trying to make light of this man, but I'm telling you, it just some things just kind of stick out to me. They were interviewing a man. It had already started raining. He's sitting there on his sailboat. And they asked him, they asked this man, he said, why don't you just try to outrun the storm? Why don't you just go west and outrun it and get out of it? Now, he still had time to do that, but he said this, he said, my motor, I don't have enough. This is a sailboat. In other words, I'm dependent on the wind. It's too late for that. But they said, so you're going to stay on this boat? And that boat was already doing that right there. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I'm a sailor. He said, I know when to loosen the ropes. And in other words, he was letting the boat go up and down with the tide. So he had it figured out. Let me just ask you something, beloved. What good is it going to do to know what to do with the rope when what it's tied to is gone? Are you listening to me? All I could see was a man that was so full of himself. He's going to take care of his boat. He's a sailor. He's going to ride it out. Maybe he made it. Maybe he didn't. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this world that'll never get ready for the storm that's coming because they're so full of their self and they're so full of their pride. They think they can handle it. But I'm telling you, beloved, there's a storm coming that no man can handle. Beloved friend, listen. The Bible said here that the storm is coming and it's coming suddenly. I believe with all of my heart we need to think about this. And then listen, another reason that men fail to recognize the Savior is because they make their decision based on man's forecast rather than God's forecast. You listen to man, you know what man will tell you? Oh, we're getting better and better. Oh, yes, we're just evolving every day. I'll tell you, we're not far from being perfect. I'm going to tell you something right now. The only way we'll be perfect is through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man on this earth is not getting better and better. Man on this earth is waxing worse and worse. I believe we better not listen to man's forecast concerning this world, but we better listen to the forecast from heaven. Amen. God said there's a storm coming, and God knows what he's talking about. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, instead of God's forecast, there many are listening to man's forecast. There's an impending storm. You say, preacher, I don't know why you even worry about it. Well, let me just say this. Last week I had the privilege, and I literally can hold her in both hands like that right there. Little Ava weighed 6 pounds, 6 ounces. She's 19 and a half inches long. And you say, preacher, why would you even be concerned? I'll tell you why. Because, beloved, if it gets worse in the next 30 years the way it has in the last 30 years, I'm concerned about what our children and our grandchildren are going to be facing. Are you? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, that this world has normalized things that God calls an abomination. This world has normalized sin. And, beloved, listen, that's not going to get better and better. That's going to wax worse and worse as we go on in time. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we should be concerned. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. If it was my dad that lived in Mexico Beach, I would have been even more concerned. Somebody help me. If it was my mom, well, let me tell you something, beloved. It's time we get concerned about our loved ones. It's time we get concerned about our neighbors. It's time we get concerned about our coworkers, and we warn them that there's a storm coming, amen, in this world, and they need to get ready to leave out of this world. Turn with me in the Bible to the book of Revelation. I'm going to read a few verses, and I'll be done this morning. I'm just going to read some of the verses. I'll read them, some just part of the verse. In Revelation chapter 6, in verse number 1, we find the noise of thunder. In verse number 2, he went forth conquering and to conquer. In verse number 4, the Bible said he would take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. Excuse me, down in verse number 8, look at it in Revelation 6, verse 8. The Bible said, and I looked, behold, a pale horse, and his name sat upon him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. If you'll drop down to verse 12, the Bible said, and I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, and when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, in verse 14, when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. In verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Nobody's voting on it. Beloved, they know where the wrath is coming from. They know where the storm is coming from. They know who they're hiding from. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a storm coming. Look in chapter number 8 for just a moment with me. Look at verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And there came upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. In verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire. It was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. In verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the Bible said in verse 12,
and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Drop down to verse 3 in chapter number 9. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should kill them, but that they should be tormented, that they should not kill them, I'm sorry, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment, the Bible said here, was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. The Bible said, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Beloved, listen to me. There's no wonder. Listen to me. I'm well aware of when I'm under the attack of old Slewfoot. It's no wonder my voice is trying to close up on me when you get to reading these verses. I'm telling you, the devil don't want people to know there's a storm coming on this earth. And beloved, listen, men are going to run to the rocks. They're going to run to the hills. They're going to want to die and not be able to die. And beloved, let me tell you something. There'll be no hospice care to keep you comfortable. I'm telling you, beloved, you'll be tormented when the storm comes upon this earth. I'm telling you, it's time to get concerned about our babies. It's time to get concerned about our loved ones. It's time to get concerned about the storm that's coming upon this earth. God, beloved, listen, has given us a book. And listen, everything in this book that God said would happen has happened. And these things that are yet future, he told John, he said, write the things which are, the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. What we're reading this morning is the things which shall be hereafter. You say, preacher, how do you know the church will be evacuated? Read Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, when God said, come up hither. And beloved, you don't see the church mentioned until Revelation chapter 19 at the marriage of the Lamb. Oh, thank God. God has an escape plan for those that'll be saved by the grace of God. Oh, beloved friend, there's a storm coming. I love the mountains. Honestly, I love them. We live right at the foot of a great big hill down where we live. I love the mountains. The mountains have a way of breaking up a lot of things. When we first moved to Tennessee, we hadn't been in that home, I don't think, a month or two. And beloved, there were forecasts in those twisters. I remember sending my family to the basement. You say, preacher, why would you send them? That's what you're supposed to do in a twister. Hit the low place, amen. Hit the lowest place you can, amen. In other words, right now, probably, I got to thinking about this morning as I was preparing to preach. Right now, the safest place physically, if we had an alert, a warning, somebody got it on their phone maybe, and said, preacher, there's a tornado going to hit Bloomingdale. The safest place that I can think of to be would be up under this stage. Because there's no basement here at Bible Way. There's no basement out yonder. No basement anywhere. It's all on one level. The safest place I could think of to be, Brother Lance, would be up under that stage. Let me ask you something, Brother Lance. Are you with me right here? Me and you going to stand out here and tuck as many little ones as we can, ain't we, brother? If they ain't room for me and you, we'll just have to go. We're going to tuck our babies up under there, right, Brother Larry? We're going to tuck our children up under there. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to be concerned, Brother Preston, about tucking our babies up under the wing of God. Up under the, my friend, listen, up under the altar where they can be saved by the grace of God. Raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm just telling you, beloved, the great thing about it is there may not be enough room under this stage for everybody that's in this building, but thank God there's enough room at the cross for everybody that's in this state. Everybody that's in this country, everybody that's in this world, there's room at the cross
for them and they can escape this storm that's coming. Oh, beloved friend, I appreciate the Lord. I'm glad he sounded the warning in my soul. I'm glad in my pride as I sat there and I said, Lord, what are they going to think? I'm glad he had a response for that. His response was, you better not care about what they think. That don't matter. You better get concerned about what I know and what you know. I'm telling you, beloved friend, I'm glad someone came by that was bigger than my pride. Someone came by that was bigger than my sin. Someone came by that loved me that night. And because of that, beloved, I'll not face this storm that I just read about in the book of the Revelation. You know, Brother Bob and Sister Louise are going to move to Ohio. I hope they don't lose my phone number. Amen. But you know, Brother Bob, that's pretty flat land up there, ain't it? Amen. How are you going to obey the Bible up there? The Bible said, lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. How are you going to do that, Brother Bob? Amen. I know how he'll do that. Just have come back to hills once in a while so he can lift his eyes up. Amen. But if I heard about a bad storm going through their town, I'm going to want to be in touch, aren't you? I'm telling you, beloved, Brother Paul sent me some pictures last night. He said, you want to buy a houseboat? He's got his camper parked on the river over there. And I think it's Unicoi, isn't it, brother? Or around Unicoi or Irwin over there. He sent me some pictures of the water coming up. And I asked him, I said, you still got your camper? They said, yeah, but it's totaled. The mud in it's that deep. The water came up. He was working, but his wife went outside, come back in. 30 minutes later, went outside, and the water was already up over her ankles. She was able to get the Jeep and get out of there. But, beloved, I'm telling you, suddenly, quickly, the storm is coming. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. There's no doubt in my heart and no doubt in my mind, when they get to stirring in that rubble, they're going to find bodies. You know they are. When they get to, my friend, that list of 1,500 people, you know they're not going to be able to account for all of them. Are you listening to me? But I want to ask you this. If you died today, would your name be recorded in heaven? Can God account for your soul? Amen. Are you ready? The storm is coming. Are you ready? Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat. We're going to the other side. I'm glad in 1987 I got in his boat. And we are going to the other side. I may face some storms, not may, I will face some storms. But I thank God for somebody, his name is Jesus, that's bigger than the storm. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, as we get ready for the invitation, Lord, I pray you'll speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that those of us, our Father, that have loved ones that are outside of the ark of safety, not ready, Lord, for the storm that's coming in this world. I pray, God, we'd bathe them in prayer. I pray, God, this morning that we'd be burdened for them the way we should be. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, our Lord, to be able to just stand and say, the storm is coming. But, Lord, God's people will be evacuated. Lord, we'll be home. I pray, Father, that without the loss of one, that each one here in our church would be accounted for. Lord, that they would know you when you come. That they would be able, Lord, to go up when you say, come up hither. And I pray, dear Father, today that you'd speak to the heart of those that are not ready. May this be the day, Lord, where they don't care what people say, what people think. Lord, they just run to Jesus. Lord, that they cry like Peter, Lord, save me. I pray, dear Father, today you'd work in our hearts, work in our lives. I pray, Lord, for the folks there in Florida. Many of them have lost their homes. Many have lost their lives. Many have lost loved ones. Lord, I pray that you'd help people to understand there is a storm worse than the worst hurricane
our coast has ever seen. It's coming. I pray, Lord, that you'd help men and women, boys and girls, to avoid that storm, to get ready at Calvary, to be saved before it's too late. In Jesus' precious name.